From Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Listen for the word of the Lord. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms, which is money. So he's asking for money, right? Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his intention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask for eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. So in case you're wondering who the best missionary for Jesus was on the youth mission trip this summer, I just wanted to let you know that it was me. I was the best missionary for Jesus on the youth mission trip. So about 22 of us just got back recently from the summer youth mission trip. We headed to a camp called Student Life Conference, and it was in Denton, Texas. But the purpose of being there was to do mission. And so every day, we put on like a 2.5-hour vacation Bible school in a mobile home neighborhood in the area. So Mission Denton is an actual like nonprofit organization, and their goal, their mission statement is simple: to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with children and their families right in their neighborhoods. I spoke with the director of Mission Denton, and she said that there are about 400 children in neighborhoods throughout the city that are a part of these weekly programs where they come in and have a worship service or teach them about Jesus. And our goal, of course, was to have a vacation Bible school. So they divided us into two different groups because there were so many of us, we could serve in two different locations. So 11 of us went to one mobile home neighborhood, and 11 people went to another mobile home neighborhood. Well, when I was with my group on the first day of our mission time, we hit the ground running. I mean, we were going for it. Michael Barris helped us as we walked around the neighborhood and we knocked on doors and invited kids to come to vacation Bible school. Mission Denton had provided us a list of kids that normally show up for activities, so we knew which doors in the neighborhood had children behind them. And let me tell you, high schooler Travis Welch, he braved many an angry, barking porch chihuahua to knock on a door and invite a kid to VBS. He was awesome. So while we were out knocking on doors, which is, right, a very un-Presbyterian thing to do, but we were brave, Dina Stewart's supermom over there, she was back at the ranch, back at the pavilion in the park of the neighborhood, and she was handing out sandwiches because we made the children lunch before we came, and she was getting name tags so we knew every kid's name. And we had about 10 kids there the first day, which is actually pretty awesome, said the folks at Mission Denton. So we had about 10 kids. And once everyone got gathered there, we launched into the vacation Bible school. And our youth and teenagers and parents were amazing. I stood in the shade of the pavilion, and I watched Joseph Barris and Lauren Murphy play wiffle ball with the kids. So they would throw the ball, and we had little children. And so they would attempt to hit it with the plastic bat, and, you know, they'd miss every time. And they're just out there in the 98-degree heat, and they're just, like, throwing the ball, throwing the ball. And then when the kid did hit it, it would, like, fly the whole way across the road, and you had to go get it. So, you know, they were doing that. Cammie and Aaron Stewart, they were doing sidewalk chalk games and drawings with the kids. Jameson Brown is super relational, and so he would sit with the kids as they were eating lunch, and he would talk to them or show them how to do cool things on his phone. Emily Murphy was my craft guru. She would set up the crafts and make sure we had everything we needed when we launched into craft time. But everyone in my group was absolutely amazing, and they just tirelessly, like, threw footballs, play games, did amazing stuff with the kids. So my job was as the director of the VBS. I deemed myself VBS director. Keith Welch directed VBS at his location. And I was serious, okay? I came with my binder of my pre-approved Mission Denton VBS curriculum, and it was good. So I had lots of games. I had a craft. I had stories. I had songs with hand motion. I mean, I was serious. We were gonna tell these kids about Jesus, okay? Because I have degrees, right? I mean, this is my job. So, like, I was very serious about this. I mean, we were on a mission trip. You all had sent us out in prayer and love and support. You had co-missioned us, and our mission that week was to share Jesus with kids. And so that was what I was all about, sharing Jesus with these kids. On the first day, I did, like, an interactive story, and I've actually done it in a worship service. You've seen it before. And we talk about Pharaoh and Moses and the showdown with the plagues, and Pharaoh keeps saying, "And oh no, I'm not going." And so we acted out all the plagues, the frogs, the boils, the gnats, and then I led them through the promised land, and the youth, like, parted the Red Sea, and then we all cheered when we got, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, we were rocking it out. So the day ends. It's evening. My favorite part of any mission time with kids or any camp experience is family time. Family time is when you gather at the end of the day and you share as a youth group what's going well for you. What did you experience where you served? Where did Jesus show up today in your life? It's the sweet time we always have together. Well, when we began family time that night, it was actually Keith Welch's group in the other neighborhood that, like, started to share first. And they shared about how much they appreciated that youth parent Ide Rodriguez was in their group because she was a very helpful translator. Okay, this is Dr. Rodriguez. Okay, Ide's not here. She's in Scotland traveling with her family right now. But she works at UT. And Dr. Rodriguez organizes all the English as a second language method courses for every education major at UT. And so, you know, the youth are sharing, and they're like, "Man, we are so happy Ide was in our group because she was the best translator." And I'm like, "What?" Yeah. And so the wheels are turning in my head, right? And the kids are like, "Yeah. Most of the kids in our group did not speak English, or if they did, they did not speak English well, so she was helping translate for us the whole time." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what are the chances that in my neighborhood, most of the children don't speak good English, if at all? And what are the chances that they pretty much understood nothing I said to them that day?" Right? Like, we're frogs, we're boils, we're crossing the Red Sea. Yeah. This is the trials of being a Yankee pastor in the Republic, okay? It's like a whole nother country down here. Man. So this was confirmed when I show up the next day at the VBS and I hold up a picture of Jesus from our curriculum and I point to it and I say, "Hey, Zeus!" And the kids are like, "Yeah!" Oh, man. So bad. So I was a little heartbroken over the lost in translation incident. And why this was so upsetting to me, like, instantly in family time that night, I was like, oh. Because I had basically just perpetuated the sins of my foremothers and forefathers. So this is how it works. Presbyterians, we are at the forefront of world mission. Our world mission organization is over 175 years old. It was called the Foreign Mission Board, the Presbyterian Foreign Mission Board. The Catholics and the Presbyterians basically wrote the book on sharing Jesus with the world. It's just that the Catholics got an 1,000-year head start on us, which I'm a little bitter about, but it's true. So we, like, wrote the book. The most Presbyterians in the world live in South Korea. There are more Presbyterians in Africa than there are in the United States. Okay, we have the first missionaries to thank for that. I mean, we were the original mission people. But when I was in seminary and I studied mission, I also had to learn the dark side of our mission story. And our mission history as Presbyterians is that in those early years, like the first 125 years, we had a fatal missional flaw. When we went to share Jesus and the gospel with you in your country and in your neighborhood, we mixed up Jesus and the good news and the gospel with white Anglo-Saxon Protestant culture, which means when we brought you Jesus, we handed you a Bible, and then we told you you needed to learn to speak English. Please cut your hair like mine. Please live in a house that looks like mine. We'll teach you how to make chicken pot pie. And by the way, these are shorts, right? And that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's true. It's what we did. We mixed Jesus and the gospel with our way of living and being and speaking and even organizing our lives and the life of our culture. We mixed the gospel with white Anglo-Saxon ways of living. And so we were not honoring of people's cultures. We were not honoring of their languages and their life experiences. And so now I ask you, who were the best missionaries for Jesus on the mission trip? Yeah, it was the youth and their parents, because they just loved on those kids, like, tirelessly, in insane heat. For 2.5 hours every day, they learned their names. They sat and ate a sandwich with them. At the other mission location, one kid would bring his dog every day, and they'd get to know Buddy the dog, and they hung out, and they heard about their families and their pets. They got to know these kids as people and just loved on them and just related with them in those times they had together. The teenagers and the parents on the trip reminded me that there's a huge difference between sharing the gospel and sharing in the gospel. And the latter one is better. When we share the gospel with people, we come from a position of power. We say, I have Jesus, here's your Bible, I'm just going to dump on you a little religion right now, right? It's a position of power. But when we share in the gospel, we come assuming that Jesus is already there, at work in that neighborhood, at work in that family, at work in those people's lives. When we share in the gospel, we're free to just get to know them, hear their stories, and then together discover what Jesus is doing in their life and in my life and in our time together. What does Jesus say in the gospel? Jesus says, "Where two or more are gathered, I am there." What does Jesus not say? Where two or more are gathered, please bring me. No, Jesus is like, I'm already there. Just get to know some people and then point to where Jesus is showing up in your time together and in your life experiences. The youth embodied what it meant not to share the gospel, but to share in the gospel, to relate to people with love, expecting that Jesus will show up. So what does this mean for Round Rock Presbyterian Church? Well, it means that we have a whole lot of really awesome ministries and missionaries in our church. Not just the youth, but all of you. And the children's message from Pastor Jack was perfect because it reminded us that children, right, are ministry and missionaries for Jesus too. They're ministers for Jesus. They're missionaries for Jesus. So here's a question. On our church website, What are the most visited pages? Don't raise your hand, just think. Most visited pages on the church website. About us. Staff, they want to know about our amazing staff. Number three, what's number three? It's holy yoga. Okay, yeah, see, that I was laughing too. Not Sunday school, not Bible study, holy yoga. Third most popular hit. What are we all realizing? That there are people who connect with Jesus in ways that are different than what is most comfortable for you and me. That's just the truth. People connect with Jesus in ways that are different than you and I. And so my question for us this morning is, how are we limiting a limitless God? How are we limiting a limitless God? I mean, we believe in a limitless God. We believe, right, that God incarnated, came in the flesh, Jesus Christ. That's pretty amazing. That's limit-breaking right there. And then, right, what happens? Jesus dies, but he rises again, and then he sits at the right hand of God. He intercedes. He prays on our behalf. That's a God who's breaking limits all over that story of salvation. We believe in a limitless God. So in what ways are we as individuals and a church putting limits on God? What expectations do we have about how God is to be worshipped, or how God moves in people's life, or how people want to connect with God? Because the truth is, Jesus is obviously in here this morning, but Jesus is also out there in the lives of people who didn't come to our church this morning, in the lives of their family. They're on a faith journey too. And so what ministries in our church, or what new ministries do we need to consider in order to walk with them in their faith journey, in the unique way they like to connect with God? In our Bible story this morning, there is a man, right? He's begging by the gate of the temple. And I know that God was super glorified by what was happening in that temple. They were worshiping God. God was glorified by the worship in the temple. But God was also glorified by what was happening outside the temple. And I think it's pretty amazing that the disciples, who were good Jewish guys, John and Peter, they weren't in worship that day. Now, we want you to still come to worship, but, you know, they weren't in worship that day. They were outside the temple, and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. So Jesus showed up in the temple, but also outside of the temple that day. And if we want to get really theological, we would say, in meeting Jesus Christ, that man was healed, and he danced his way back into the community, right? Because he goes into the temple, and he dances, and he praises, and he sings to God. And so I want you to just think about that story this week. Think about how Jesus showed up in the worship service, but also outside in a new and different way. And the bravery of those disciples to kind of hone in on that and experience that and be in that moment with that man. And so we want to thank the band for actually being here today, because you are a snappy reminder for us that there are so many ways to worship God, that God is worshiped in different languages. And what new ways of seeing and being and hearing and seeing and experiencing and connecting are we being called to as a church? What new ways, in order that we might continue to bless others with our delightfully limitless God? Let us pray. God, you are so good, and it is human nature to limit you, to want to connect with you in a way that works for us, but to maybe selfishly not consider how other people may connect with you, how other people might want to walk with you, how other people might want to study and listen and learn and worship you. God, continue to challenge us. Break the limits we place on you, that we might rejoice day after day that you are a delightfully limitless God, and we call you Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.